Okay, we're recording. Wonderful. Okay, so as a new Christian, it's become apparent to me, a lot of things have become apparent to me. Yes, amen. But I have a desire, first of all, to read my Bible, to be closer to God. But the very foundation of that desire is to be like Jesus Christ. Ronnie Scolton did his thing, and he was good at being a really wicked person. I was very good at sin. I was a great liar. I was a great deceiver. I imagine I even stole some things in my life. But that's the old man. That's the man that's passed away. Things are new for me now. I'm a new creature. And my desire now is to be like Jesus Christ. I fail at it. I fail at it every day. But it's apparent to me when I fail at it. It grieves me that I fail at that. You know, we often hear people say, what is the meaning of life? What is the point of life? What is the point of being a human being? Well, I believe the Bible points out to us what the meaning of life is. But even stammering, lisping tongue, I have that. It'll lie silent one day. But I want to tell you what I believe the Bible teaches us about the purpose of mankind. In Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 27, we have an account. 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, obviously, in this day and age, a preacher would like to point out, there's two genders, male and female. God got that straight. Mm-hmm. But we were created in the image and likeness of God. That is our point of existence. That's the reason God created us. When we were saved, well, let me back up. God our Father is the God of all creation. When he was done the creation account, Genesis in the Bible, it says that God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I'm just going to try to stick to my paper. That's probably better right now. God says that his creation was a very good thing. God liked creating and creation. Part of being created in the image and likeness of God is being able to create. We created this pulpit, created clothes that we wear. And the greatest of that creation is being able to procreate, to create life with God. It is the first command given to Adam and to Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. They were created in the image of God, to be like God, and he commanded them to be like God. What a privilege God has given us to be able to create life. What a responsibility we have for the life that God gives us when we create that life. When we procreate children, we are responsible for them. Fathers especially are to provide for their children, to support their wives as the mothers who nurture our children. Noah, my grandson, was just born a week ago today. And the nurse who helped deliver him, who claims to be a Christian, made the statement, I get secondhand from my daughter, that she never feels closer to Jesus Christ than when a baby is being born. And I can say that I personally believe that after helping or being present for the birth of all my children and helping to deliver my firstborn child, Chelsea. I remember doing the Johnny Bench thing, And she was just this purple blob, just white and purple and a mess. And then all of a sudden she had features. There was a nose. I could see ears, they kind of popped out. It terrified me. Yeah, you know what terrified me? Was the power of God was present in the birth of that child. That procreation, God was very present. So I believe that nurse is a very good point to being very close, feeling the presence of God very much when you're able to witness the birth of a child. As a result of the fall, however, we are now no longer existent in the image of God. We exist now in the image of Adam. And we can see that in the Bible, an account in Genesis where it says, when Eve was given Seth, that Seth was brought forth in the image of his father. When we are born again, however, God puts us on the journey to be like Christ. It is God's ultimate desire for mankind from the very beginning to be his image, to be his likeness. When we as a human being choose, and we do choose, to live a life of sin and rebellion against God, we are choosing not to operate our lives in the image and likeness of God. But the good news is this for the born-again person. Romans 8:29 says that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, in this context, to conform is to be similar in form or type, to agree with. So let me ask you something, blessed people. Do you agree with the Bible? Everything in the Bible, or just a piece here and a piece there? Do you agree with the parts that you don't like? I will tell you, there's things in the Bible that I read that I don't necessarily thank God that I read at that particular point in time. Because when you read the Bible, it reads you. When I look at my book, it looks right through me and exposes me. And that sometimes can make me uncomfortable. But I do believe that this book is the perfect word of God. And even when I don't like it, it is my will to agree with it. Jesus Christ agrees with the book, the word of God, 100%. The Bible says in John that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Part of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ is believing your Bible. If you are a truly born-again saint of God, it will be your great desire to be like Christ, the Son of God, not just at church and in front of other people, but in your private life and in your time alone. By the way, what you do and how you behave when you're alone, that's who and how and what you really are. When you're by yourself, your true character will be displayed. There's no children here. Most of you are at least my age or older, so I'm sure you understand that. There's a lot that I could learn from most of your folks in here, and some I could learn from everybody. A saved person, John, you showed this in 1 John this morning. A saved person will live like a saved person. And a lost person will live like a lost person. Now, that's not to say that a saved person cannot sin, that a saved person cannot make a poor decision or a series of poor decisions. But if you are a born-again person, your deep desire should be to be like Jesus Christ. And when we sin, It grieves us. We hate that we have done that. Amen? We want to repent of that and reconcile ourselves back to God. That's why Christ is called our high priest. He is able to do that for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And hereby, 1 John. But chapter 2 and verse 3 is where I'll start reading. It says, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also himself to walk even as he walked. If you claim to be a born-again Christian, walk like Jesus Christ walked. Husbands, we are to love our wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How about it, men? Are you as good to your wives in private as you are in public? Do you treat your wife the same at home as you do in church in front of everybody? Do you desire to love and comfort your wife as Christ desires to love and comfort us? Husbands, this is a hard thing that I had to learn, but it comes from the Word of God, so therefore it's true. If your wife isn't what she ought to be, according to the Bible, men, it's on you. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says this, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Just as God desires to lead us so that we would be to his image and glory, husbands, we are to lead our wives so that they can be the glory of us. There's a perfect relationship that God has in this Bible, woven out between God and man. So men, do your best to let God conform you to his image. After all, that is why you were created. Be conformed to the image and glory of God, and you will see your wife blossom and grow into the best that she can be. Keeping in mind the relationship between saved mankind and Christ is that of a bridegroom and a bride. How beautiful is that? God makes things so wonderfully simple, so perfectly applicable to us, because he is the living God. Jesus Christ, in flesh, sits down right now next to the Father. He knows exactly what it's like to be you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, there it is, the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, who is God. What could be better than being what we were created to be? What could be better than being like God? I like fishing. I like airplanes. I like knives. Huh? I get enjoyment from these things. I cannot fathom for the life of me anything that is going to be better than when I get to see Christ and be just like Jesus. If I get to be just like Christ in his image and in his likeness, that means that one day, a trillion years from now, if you're a born-again saint and we're walking in heaven and you see me coming, you'll say, hey, here comes Jesus. And as I get a little closer to you, you know, no, that's Ronnie Scolton. Amen. That is your ultimate reward. It's not heaven, although heaven is a wonderful thing. It's not the New Jerusalem. It's to be like Jesus Christ, to be just like him. That's what we were intended to be from the very beginning. That's what the devil stole. It was always God's intention for mankind to be in his image and likeness. When Adam failed to maintain that holy position, God stepped up like the man that he is and took responsibility for that. He did so for Adam and Eve by covering them in the skins of animals. He continued by commanding blood sacrifices and burnt offerings. And then he completed the work in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned, he didn't leave him out there twisting in the wind without any hope. He took responsibility for his creation because he wanted to restore him to what he was created to be, the image and the glory of God. The devil's desire isn't just to destroy the image of God. You see, he can't destroy God. But because of his corrupted wisdom, he thinks he can be like God. So it is logically follows that if he wants to be like God, he wants mankind to be established in his image, the sinful image of Satan. The Bible teaches us that you're either of God or you're of the devil. There is no in between. In Ezekiel, we read, the Bible says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. There it is. That's the corrupted wisdom of Satan. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. In Isaiah, Satan said, the I wills. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. Well, how can he ascend? Because he was cast down. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. For 27 years, I believed the lie that Satan gave me, that he was God. He impersonates him very, very well. That's his greatest desire, is to be like God. He convinced 1/3 of the holy angels who were created and existed right before God, that he could do God's job. So much so that they fought a war with him and were kicked out of heaven. His desire is to be like God. And if his desire is to be like God, then it is his desire that mankind would exist in his image. And this is what he has done to our world today. It's getting worse. God has a lot of things to say about images and not worshiping man-made images. Keep in mind that the word imagination comes from the root word of image. And the Bible says that in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God created man to exist in his image and in his likeness. And here it says that he wished he hadn't done it. It took me a long time to reconcile those two statements of the Bible. Why would God wish he had not created man? Because it grieves God for every soul that he sends to hell and ultimately to the lake of fire. The devil likes to use images also. He uses, well, men, we understand it. Our eyes are never full. If you see an image of an inappropriate, just woman, you have to fight your mind to concentrate and think properly. I'm 50 years old, married to the most beautiful woman I've ever known, and it hasn't left to me yet as a saved person. The Bible also says, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. So I ask you, is there any doubt that the imaginations of men today are only continually evil? Watch the news. I don't know if anybody reads the newspaper anymore. Read a newspaper. Talk to your neighbor. Listen to the conversation at the grocery store. People aren't talking about wonderful good things. They're not even quiet about it anymore. People don't even try to conceal the wickedness of their heart. It used to be certain things would be talked about in hushed tones and quietness. You know, things that wicked men would discuss in bar rooms as they were drunk. You'll hear in the schools now worse things. I want to read you a little short part of a page out of a book called In Awe of Thy Word. And the author is Gail Ripplinger. And this book page says this. It says that children's minds are like computers. Words take up very little memory space, but pictures, particularly video images, use up a lot of space. The same stored space gobbled up by a very short video clip could contain the entire Bible. A child's mind has enough storage space to easily memorize the entire New Testament, but not if it has stored away thousands of hours of television pictures. Thomas Edison, the inventor of this thief who comes to steal, John 10:10, Thomas Edison, the inventor of this thief who comes to steal so much space, was a card-carrying Luciferian. He invented every device that brings about this vice, and for this, he paid a big price. Satan had said, quote, all this power will I give thee, if thou therefore will worship me. Edison entered the Luciferian Theosophical Society of Madame Blavatsky in 1878. The power followed at lightning speed when he invented the first sound recording, the first movie picture, the electronic light to project it, and later the generator to produce the power, because at first all power was battery powered. The power of Satan competes today with the command that man is to live by every word of God. We need to fill our minds with the images of the letters from the Bible. The Bible is a perfect, inspired, all-sufficient word of God that he has given for the salvation of all mankind, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, there weren't any electronic images in Noah's day. But you can be sure, according to the Bible, that their minds were filled with plenty of evil images, evil imaginations. There's nothing new to sin. There's nothing new about sin. We have different devices that help facilitate sin if we desire to. We can use this for good. We can use it for evil. This has been the ruin of many man's marriage. Communication tech. especially the internet and cell phones, have become, in my opinion, bricks in the modern Tower of Babel. You wonder why, what does it have to do with anything? Well, let's see. Genesis 11, verse 5 says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the Tower of Babel, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." We have untold numbers of little towers of Babel today. We call them cell towers. There's about 500,000 of them in the United States of America alone. Social media is where the imaginations of the evil and mankind's heart is often mortared together. Social media often causes people to be amazed. You want somebody to convince you of something? You want to be somebody today? A while ago, by the way, I'm not allowed on Facebook. I was kicked off before President Trump was. I like to point that out. I'm kind of happy about that. It wasn't for anything bad either. It was for telling the truth. Amen. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want it. But I read a post by a young man. When I say a young man, he was probably in his late teens or his early 20s. And he watched a news report. And I don't know what channel it was or what the report was about, but he didn't like it. He has a following that gives you power today. But he had a following on his Facebook account or his YouTube or whatever it was, so social media. And he said, if they don't, I'm paraphrasing, if they don't fire this reporter, boycott the advertisers of this news station. And then he listed the advertisers. So the little boy got his feelings hurt, and he got everybody else that he could to attack this news station because he didn't like what was said. Whether it was a good thing that was said or a bad thing that was said, I don't know. My point is, social media mortars together the evil intentions of men today. Anyway, we're so easily swayed. I don't know about you. When I say you, I'm talking about the populace in general, are so easily swayed by public opinion. I remember reading the Bible, and I can't pick this quote perfect, but it says that we're concerned, if you're overly concerned, if you're with what other people are thinking, that you're not going to come to Christ. Now, I used to read that, and what I would see is not what it said. What I would see, it would say, "Ronnie, you're so worried about what other people think about you that you won't come to Christ." But that's not what it said. It says you're concerned with what other people think. And it dawned on me. God gave me the understanding. You sit in church when the preaching's going on, you're thinking about, I wonder if John over there thinks about fishing. Not about what Ronnie's doing. Is he thinking about the flat tire he got on his way to work Monday? Yeah, I was thinking those things. I misconstrued the word of God into thinking it said I was worried about what people think about me. See, we need to read the Bible and see what it says and take it for what it says, not what we think it means. Let the Bible say what the Bible says and let that sink into you. Going back to social media, the Bible has this to say. In Proverbs chapter 30, starting at 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Doesn't that describe social media today? Social media is where mankind is realizing the ability to overcome the restraint in accomplishing anything which they have imagined to do. I'm going to read that again. Social media is where mankind is realizing the ability to overcome the restraint in accomplishing anything which they have imagined to do. That's why God scattered man at the Tower of Babel, because they were going to accomplish anything that they imagined to do. All this communication tech is bringing us back together today. And what is happening is that mankind is more than ever existing in their life and operating in their life in the image and in the likeness of Satan. We need to endeavor to follow Christ. We need to be grieved when we fail at that. The ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose of mankind is to be the image and the likeness of our Creator. The devil's ultimate goal is to be like a god, and he will sit one day in the temple and show himself to be God. Revelation makes that very clear. Satan even now presently impersonates God. Isn't that what he said? I will be like the Most High. That's what he wants to do. That's what he is doing. And he very frequently gives false salvation experiences. I personally know that. I lived that for over 2.5 decades in church. And he is doing everything he can to actively conform mankind to his own image. So here's the end of my message. It's a question. Whose image do you and whose image will you be found in when you stand before God Almighty? That's all I have. Sir, I didn't know if you were going to come up and do that or not. Sorry, I'm still relatively new at this. All right, so let's be dismissed in prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, again that we are able to come here and meet. And Lord, we pray that we would be conformed to your image, Lord. And I ask now for the individuals here and the concerns in the Sunday school that we met this morning, for the illnesses, for the injuries, Lord. And we pray also, Father, that we would have a safety in our travels. And Lord, I pray that you bless the birthday celebration for the individual that will be happening this afternoon. God, we thank you for everything you've done. And we pray that you would continue to do a work in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I turn that off or not. I don't know how to run the stupid phone.
I got it set at 7.